Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Hello, welcome everyone. AEW Double or Nothing post show. I mess it up so much in the like doing the preview for this too. AEW Double Nothing. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined by my two good buddies. First, from Bleacher Report, Phil Lindsay, back from last year. We had to bring you back after last year, Phil. How you doing, man?
2 years in a row, man. Very happy to be here.
This is the Double or Nothing crew, if I can, you know, continue to hold down this job and keep doing it. Because also joining us from Post Wrestling, he was at Double or Nothing 2 years ago, Andrew Thompson. Andrew, what's up, buddy?
Phil and Jerm, it's a pleasure to be here with y'all two good men, man. Always.
Always.
Guys, in the chat, you can leave us a super chat, get your question, comment, statement read on air. Leave us a thumbs up on the video. Subscribe to the channel. Head over to Fightful Select for any type of breaking news. We also have on the channel right now, Sean Rossaf is streaming the media calls, the AEW Double or Nothing post-show media calls. I don't know who will be speaking on those. I assume Tony Khan and a bunch of other people. So you can check those out. Don't go over there now. Listen to us right now. You can listen to these media calls. Tony Khan's just going to tell you, tremendous show. I thought this was top to bottom one of our best shows we've ever produced. The crowds being back was very lively. You know, we had the Inner Circle. We had the introduction of Mark Henry. We had new women's champion and Britt Baker. We had the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks retaining. Just how great with this show, everybody. I think this is our best show, and now we're on the road to AEW All Out, and that's going to be a tremendous show as well, everybody. Now I'll take questions. That's going to be his intro. You don't have to watch it. I just did it for you. There you go.
I bet Jeremy feeling it tonight. There it is. He feeling it tonight, Phil.
Gotta bring
in. Come on, roll up the sleeves a little bit like that. Show a little bit of the
bicep. Yeah, he does the like that. Gonna get the guns going there. You know, just that pose right there.
Weaving together a little bit like
that. Yeah, there you go. There you go, Phil. Anakin says, can Andrew tell the story of him almost beating up Jerry?
Look, bro. We not doing this.
Guys, we get $1,000 in super chats. Andrew will
tell the story.
All right.
I'll tell the story.
$1,000 to hear this story. Okay, everybody.
Sean trying to pry this out of me. He said he was going to do the Sean Ross stories thing or something. Like he trying to get me to tell this story. I'm not going to do it.
Sean says, Andrew Thompson appearance. Woo, this show was amazing. Like, Andrew's the GOAT, man. He's always welcome here, as is Phil. Let's get into the show. First off, crowds. Crowds are back. Did you miss the crowds, Phil?
Crowds are back, baby. Definitely missed the crowds. Man, I think that made this show feel more special. So it was the same kind of vibe as WrestleMania. It just felt like a bigger show because there were crowds.
Yeah, man, it's definitely good to see crowds back. Like, it's kind of, I don't want to use the word surreal, but it is that, like, I'm talking about, like, as far as people being packed in close together, like, it's a great feeling to see people back in.
We open the show with Serena Deeb against Riho for the NWA Women's Championship. Serena Deeb retains. The story of the night. Serena was very aggressive in this match, almost heelish to an extent, going after Riho's leg, really working her over. Riho fought, but in the end, Serena locked in the Serenity Lock, got the tap out for the victory. Andrew, what did you think of this match?
I think this was one of the best matches on the show, if not the best match on the show. Serena Deeb is a very underappreciated wrestler. I can't believe she was in the PC coaching for this long. And what's she like in her early 30s? Not even since Serena Deeb ain't halfway, nowhere near done. And I think her and Riho just proved that they can go out there and probably do this again. You know, that I'm pretty sure they probably gonna run the Thunder Rosa Serena Deeb match at the next NWA pay-per-view probably.
Don't even start me on this NWA nonsense. Serena Deeb's 34, by the way. I think they're doing Deeb and Camille and Rosa in like a triple threat match at the NWA pay-per-view. They haven't announced anything. The show's in less than a week. They haven't announced anything. They don't know what they're doing. Phil, what'd you think?
I agree. This was probably, for me, the best match on the card. Man, these two just, I mean, I think seeing Riho get such a good reaction just reminds you that she's just such a good babyface. And, man, Serena played off of that all match and, like, every time Riho got a comeback going, Serena would just do something even more savage. So by the time we got to the finish and she healed it up even more, slammed her knee down like she did Red Velvet, I just thought it was great. Perfectly worked match. Great psychology. I loved it.
Bro, the thing I liked about Serena Deeb the most is, like, she came out and she instantly got these big cheers, and then, like, she immediately flipped that and got the crowd to boo, and then everybody got behind Riho. I was like, bro, she is so, like, she is, like, hella talented, bro.
She perfectly is so talented. Good. Yeah, I'm with you. Like, man, how is she at the Performance Center just coaching? Like, she is so, so good. And it's nice to see her in this role and getting this opportunity with AEW and with NWA a little bit. Man, I legitimately thought this was the best match on the show. It's close between this and a couple other matches, but the crowd was super into this. It was nice to have that crowd back for this match, you know, first match on the show. And I thought it was the best match on the show. I'm not too surprising that Serena retained, considering she is kind of more NWA than Riho. Kind of weird if Riho went to NWA Power Studio. It feels like a weird setting for her. So yeah. I thought Deeb winning was the right call. But I love this match. I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah, they made sure to tell us several times during this match, Riho is in the U.S. for good, guys. Rio's moving to the U.S., guys. Riho has moved to the U.S., guys. I'm glad she's here. If that means we're getting Riho versus Sheeta at some point, I need to see that rematch.
And she's not the champion anymore. We're gonna get Riho and Baker, hopefully. Yeah,
And I say that then the Riho versus Serena Deeb, that happened in the women's tournament back a couple months ago, right? But I remember Serena Deeb had the knee injury, so it wasn't as I guess it wasn't as good compared to this one. But like this one was like the official, like after she already had her, you know, her surgery and all that. So yeah, Serena Deeb, she showed out, man.
Yeah.
I thought this was a great buy-in match. If you were on the fence about potentially buying this show, I think this maybe sold a couple extra buys. At least I hope it did, because these women earned it. And we didn't have to listen to Jim Ross tell us Riho's weight 3 million times. I guess Phil, she's in the U.S. now. That was the Jim Ross telling us her the weight the entire time.
Yeah.
Jose Flores says, I drank a good amount of bourbon. I don't know what I remember. Yay. Love pro wrestling. Love FIFO capitalism. Sure. I hope you remember something after all your bourbon. All right, buddy. We kick things off on the main show with Brian Cage against Hangman Adam Page. Let's talk about this reaction.
Man.
My God. This man's over. This man's a star.
Over isn't even the word, bro. Like, he is, like, I don't even know the word. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about the word. I don't even know the word. Bro, if they aren't thinking Hangman versus Omega at All Out, I don't know what the deal is. Like, he is insanely popular with the crowd. Like, and it's crazy because it felt like Hangman had these like droughts throughout his time, like during this pandemic era of wrestling. Like, it felt like he was like up and down. And then some days, like, he was just kind of eh. And then, like, soon as he gets this full crowd back, he's like literally right back to where he was before the pandemic started.
Yeah. Man, if this was a, I feel like if this show was a signal to trust the process, you know, shout out to Joe Hobert and the Philadelphia 76ers. If this was a trust the process, like, to see where Hangman and Britt have come in 2 years to be where they are, to get the loudest pops of the night, that just says everything about how well AEW has built them both up.
I think people may have been worried that Hangman had cooled during the pandemic because he was getting like the biggest reactions on the show before the pandemic. And then they kind of cooled him a little bit after the Omega stuff, after he lost to Omega. He moved into the Dark Order and everything. I think people were a little bit worried about Hangman and where he'd be. All that was answered very, very quickly when his music hit. And he got, I mean, maybe the biggest reaction of the night. If not, it was definitely like top three.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I got to give a little bit, just a little bit credit to Brian Cage. I think he is a really good heel when he has the people to play off of. Like, you can tell, like, I think people like to dislike the character Brian Cage, and he played really well off Hangman. And I just think they just mesh real well in the ring together.
Brian Cage is about to be a baby face after this. Right. So Cage was in control. And then Hook and Ricky Starks come down. They're trying to help Cage out. He's like, no, I told you guys to stay back. I got this. Paige ends up catching him with the Buckshot Lariat for the victory. And then Cage just walked out on Team Taz here. So I don't know if they're turning Brian Cage babyface here. It seems like he's parting ways with Team Taz at some point. But I thought it was a tremendous match. We have an Avalanche F5 in this match. Hangman also used an F5. Brian Cage was going for a Buckshot Lariat, but kind of got tripped up, which was part of the story. But Hangman wins, and then Brian Cage leaving Team Taz potentially, turning babyface potentially. Phil, what'd you think?
So we haven't talked about Brian coming down in this like Power Rangers villain armor. He looked like yoked up, rancid. I don't like it. The armor just looked so weird. Like, I was like, this, I don't know about this look for you, Brian, but the match was so much better than I expected. Like, I wasn't really looking forward to this match out of the most of the matches announced, but this match I feel like overachieved. It was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree 100% with Phil said. I think this match did overachieve. I think it was one of those matches they like you probably saw it on the card and you was like, it'd probably be, you know, yeah, it'd probably be okay. And then they really turned it up. And I think that initial reaction that Hangman Page got like really turned it up just a little bit extra more. Like, it got everybody excited for it. Hey, bro, Hangman, like, this is all he needed was the people. And like, I feel like now it's just a full sprint to All Out. I don't know if he'd be the one to beat Omega. It seems like everybody wants him to be the one to beat Omega, but if that's the case, I'm pretty sure ain't nobody gonna complain about it.
No, it seems like that's what they've been setting up, and that's what pretty much everyone I've seen on Twitter, a lot of people that I've talked to, I know Joseph is calling Hangman at All Out. Feels like Hangman at All Out is gonna be the move here. We'll see if that's where they go, but and it's tough to deny Hangman right now, especially with the reaction he got on this show.
Yeah, I was about to say what a full circle story it would be, because he lost at the pay-per-view 2 years ago, and then 2 years later he wins it. I think that'd be like a nice little, you know, full circle moment.
Jose Flores says Andrew has a cool voice.
I appreciate that, man. That's nice. So nice on here, man. So it's nice, just nice, nice people.
Mike Provencher says, very NWA to have the best NWA match of the year on the AEW pre-show. Yeah.
Hey, so hold on, wait, real quick, because Joe had got Nick Aldis quote tweeting him.
Oh, man. We're trying to buy the NWA, everybody. If you want to help us buy the NWA, go to patreon.com/thedistraction. The more you pay us, the higher your role is in the NWA. You can be the champion if you pay us enough, you know? Trying to buy the company.
Nick Aldis was sneaked as a germ on Twitter, bro. That is hilarious. That shit is that's funny, bro. Like, that is funny. You got the NWA world champion at your neck. He got beef with you.
He's gonna email me again and be like, what's your boss's phone number?
Oh, he just hey Phil.
Come on, man.
But Brian says, I survived the AEW double or nothing. I'm moving on. Had to send y'all some love. Hopefully Joseph's heart is still in one piece after the Bucks win. He's a Sixers fan. His heart's fine, I'm sure. I assume you mean like in the conference finals, but, you know, you got to get there. Hopefully Jack Crosby got enough Ward, though. I don't think Jack Crosby could ever get enough Ward, though. So we will see. Second match on the show, Young Bucks against Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, AEW tag team title match. I thought the crowd would be more into the Wild Thing. They weren't singing it too much. A little disappointing on that one. The Young Bucks worked this match like a WWE. Oh, go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
No, you go. I was about to say, like the crowd, they were killing me when they weren't singing along the Wild Thing and Orange Cassidy's the Pixies. They were killing me with that, man.
What are we doing? What are we doing there? Young Bucks worked this match like a WWE tag team, doing some stuff from people we won't mention on this show. And they were doing some bumping and feeding and everything. And the hot tag that Eddie got was tremendous. Crowd went absolutely crazy for that one. A lot of heat segments in this. First, they worked over Eddie. Then they worked over Moxley. Some hope spots for Eddie and Moxley. But in the end, multiple BTE triggers on Moxley finished him off. Young Bucks retain. Andrew, what'd you think?
I think this was a real solid match to follow up on the Hangman Page match. Like it was one spot that I found real funny. It was something that Don Callis said when they hit the Meltzer driver on, well, I think it was on Moxley on the outside, and Callis was like, I think a spot just opened up on the roster. I was like, he's one of my favorite commentators out there. But yeah, I think this was a real good match. I kind of thought that they were going to give it to Mox and Eddie, you know, for the feel good moment. But I like looking at it hindsight 2020, I probably think, you know, maybe the Young Bucks are probably the best option because I think Santana and Ortiz might be up next.
Yeah. I've said this plenty of times on Twitter. The Bucks should just never go back to being baby faces. They're just so much fun as heels. Even their tights having the label on it that said tight and then the other label that said pockets. It just, all of that stuff is just hilarious to me. And I know some people probably think it's over the top and cheesy, but I think that's what makes it so funny. It's like, even when they came down and they did the poses and Mox came and jumped them immediately, he started stuffing the streamers in Matt's mouth and he's just reacting super over the top. All of that stuff is hilarious. The match itself was really hard hitting, really good storytelling of, you know, them keeping Mox in the middle of the ring and just like decimating them, just pelting them with super kicks. And then when Eddie comes in, at some points I was like, ref, get one of these guys out the ring. How long are you going to keep these guys in the ring? Like, get one of these guys out of the ring. But I think it worked because they did enough damage to keep it interesting. But yeah, it never looked like Mox looked weak in this thing. They had to hit him with what, like 3 BTE triggers to put him away.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Hey, Phil and Jeremy, I wanted to ask y'all something. Have y'all ever seen a wrestler that has like shed his like, I guess the proper word is like previous employer, like Mox has? I mean, like as far as like anything that he's done in WWE, like it's like he's not even like compared or like linked to what he's doing in WWE. Like it's just like Mox is like the AEW, you know, doing the stuff at GCW now. I feel like he's like completely shed like anything negative or anything like involving WWE. I'm just wondering what y'all think.
He's definitely no longer Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
maybe Kenta. I feel like Kenta has completely eradicated all the Hideo Itami stuff. But yeah, Mox, I feel like that was the other thing. When he came out and they were swinging the shoes around and walking through the crowd, they looked like tremendous stars in that moment. Mm. It just was so cool, man.
I think the difference, at least for me, between like Moxley and Kenta is one, he was like Kenta beforehand and, you know, pretty big on a big stage with ROH and Noah and everything. Like Hideo Itami was just like a 205 Live NXT guy. Like Ambrose was the world champion. Like he was main eventing shows. He faced Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. Like now, yeah, completely, completely different dude. Like to me, he's like the top guy in wrestling. Yeah. Outside of like Reigns, if I'm doing like overall draft picks in the entire wrestling world, probably take Reigns 1, probably take Moxley 2. Like he's tremendous. I love that dude. Jose Flores says, Phil, Young Bucks rule.
Yes, they do. I, you know, there was a little bit of heat, people getting mad. I was saying the Bucks put on a good story here. You know, it goes against all of the narratives everybody wants to run with on Twitter.
But why do people think the Young Bucks like can't tell? I never understood that. I never got it.
I feel like somebody said that and people just ran with it.
Yeah.
Jose also says it's Jose. Sorry, Jose.
Jose.
Is it Jose? I like how he spelled out Ho like
what,
that. Though.
What alliteration he used there.
Jose.
Jose. All right. Taxel says, you think Eddie and Hangman cross paths when he wins the world title, standing on the stand, or Eddie and the Dark Order? I don't know. There's not like a link between like Eddie and Hangman, is there? Am I missing something?
I feel like you like putting that you gonna force the crowd to boo one of them. I think that's what that is.
Eddie was over. Eddie was like getting bigger cheers than Moxley in this match.
People love really Eddie Kingston, bro.
Oh, he rules. he rules. Like, just listen to that dude talk. Just tremendous. Just tremendous. That dude is a man. And Bud Ryan corrected himself. He said he hopes Joseph is not too upset about a Young Bucks victory, not the Milwaukee Bucks. Joseph, obviously, a big Moxley and King fan. I haven't heard from him. I should text him, make sure he's okay, because, he might be okay. Texel says Eddie and Brody connection. I mean, I get that, but, like, that wasn't really, you know, surfaced on AEW. Mm-hmm. You can bring it up and everything, but it just feels like a weird tie-in there. Casino Battle Royale. The Joker in this match was Leo Rush. We'll start there.
Big Leo.
There you go. Hey, I was happy to see Leo Rush. I don't know if he signed. I imagine Tony Khan will get asked that. I wasn't happy that he lasted like 3 minutes in this match. I mean, he ran a little wild. Then he's like, all right, he's out. Phil, what'd you think?
I still don't like the format of this match. It's just so confusing to keep up with. I thought there was a lot of cool spots in this match, but it's just so much going on. Like, I honestly felt like besides the Leo surprise and then, of course, like the winner – like, this match didn't need to be this far into the card. You almost could have put this in the buy-in and put Serena and Riho on the main card, and it wouldn't have killed anything, in my opinion. I don't know if that's just me.
I'm going to say, of course, AEW needed Leo. The challenge man is bringing in the ratings. You need Leo Rush in your roster.
That's right. 100%.
But not for real, like, in all seriousness, like, look at the 2021 that Leo Rush has had, bro. Like, he's been in MLW, done some stuff with New Japan, of course, working in independence, doing the stuff with GCW. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, if the borders weren't, you know, if the restrictions weren't so tight because of COVID, I'm pretty sure Leo Rush would probably be in Japan doing something over there. Like, he is having like a hell of a like bounce back year coming out of WWE. And I also got to say, I was just happy for Christian, man. I was happy to see him get his big, you know, ovation. And I'm pretty sure, Jeremy, you're going to bring it up, but man, Jungle Boy is like, dude, like,
yeah,
he is over, bro. Like, it's crazy.
So Jungle Boy wins this match. Christian came out first. He was part of the first group. I'm with you, Phil. I don't like the format of this thing. The structure is off a lot of times with these. Battle Royals are tough in general, but when you're like grouping people like this, I'm not really a fan of it. Christian's part of the first group. He got taken out by Private Party and Matt Hardy. He outworked everybody by sleeping on the outside for like 10 minutes. And then it came down to Christian and Jungle Boy. And this was the thing. The crowd kind of turned on Christian here. They wanted Jungle Boy to win this match, and they were pulling for him big time. Christian seemed like the obvious favorite on this, and they went with Jungle Boy, and I respect them for doing it because they could have just easily gone with Christian. I figured this would be like a Dynamite main event that they would do since the next pay-per-view is so far away. They went with Jungle Boy. Listen to the crowd. Jungle Boy is going to get his title match in 2 weeks. Andrew, what do you think of Jungle Boy winning?
Yeah, I definitely think this is the right decision. Like, of course, I think like because the interaction that Kenny Omega and Christian had on, you know, Dynamite a few months back, I instantly thought that, you know, that was probably going to be, you know, the case some way down the line, like at a Fight for the Fallen or a Fighter Fest show, that was probably going to be the headlining match. But like, just listening to the crowd, bro, like it was too obvious to like, you know, and I think you need to further build your young stars, man. The Jungle Boy is clearly one of their young stars, and they'll give him a world title opportunity. I think he's going to show out when he gets in there with Kenny.
Yeah, Man, that save he did to stay in the match was awesome. When he came around the ring post, that was smooth.
Hey, Phil, that was risky, brother, because that, bro, that could have went so left.
Yes, that could have, but so it looked left. Great. It looked great. I thought the finish of the match looked great. And, man, I was glad to see Jungle Boy get just unanimous cheers and get the win. I thought that was the right decision.
Oh, yeah. Phil and Jerm, we got to talk about one of my biggest surprises on the show, no lie. I was surprised at the reaction that Max Caster got. I thought people was going to boo him. For real, I thought he was gonna go out there and people were gonna
he choked. Bro, Andrew, you can't tell me this man did not choke during his rap.
Look. Okay, he messed up at the end. He was going, but Dustin Rose wasn't giving him no play. Dustin Rose was like staring like hard. He was like, look at me, Dustin. And then he was like, yo. And then you had JR mocking him on the commentary talking about, yo. I'm like, come on, man. But he, like, I thought they was gonna boo the hell out of him when he got out there. And they popped for him because I think it was the beat. Because the B go hard, we're not gonna see it act like it. No,
yeah, it does.
The B goes hard on that song, but yeah, like he did mess up at the end. I know what you're talking about.
I like Matt Caster. Max Caster. I was glad he got a cheer because he deserved it. I was sad he went out so early. I was like, why is he going out this early? He did pop a doc that though. That yo
pop a doc.
He pop a doc it a little bit. Right doc.
No, I expected this. I've been saying it for weeks that he was going to thrive as soon as the live crowd came back. If anybody on that roster can play off a live crowd attempt.
Yeah, you want to know one of the things I put this down because I wanted to make sure to mention it. It's crazy, like, seeing how far, like, Dark Order has come, like, as far as their reactions go. Because I know y'all remember 2 years ago when they debuted at Double or Nothing, bro. It was crickets. Like, it was horrible. Like, people was like, what in the hell is this that they got going on in the ring? And, like, see where they at right now. Evil Uno getting big pops coming out from his he doing the Twitch stream stuff. Like, he blowing up. Like, it's real crazy to see what Dark Order is right now.
Brody elevated that group so much.
Bro, one of the saddest things, I'm pretty sure a bunch of people have mentioned this on social media just over the last couple of weeks, but like the fact that he didn't get to, you know, get that big moment, because, you know, everybody has talked about it before, Phil, we've been on podcasts before, Jeremy, we've been on podcasts before, talked about it, like the fact that he didn't get that big moment in Rochester in his hometown, but that's probably like one of the saddest things, because I'm pretty sure that crowd would have went ape shit for him if they would have got to see him live.
Yep. Cyclops better than Wolverine says, y'all think if Leo and Mark talked backstage?
Oh, Phil, hey, bro, at the end of this, like when we got to that, I was going to ask because when we did the podcast with Reg, we had talked about this, the Mark Henry, Leo Rush stuff, and I wonder if, like, they can't, like, they cross paths, because Mark Henry, he was on some real petty stuff. I know you remember that, Jeremy. I think we covered that on the site, like, he's talking about he's going to sue Leo Rush and all. I'm like, bro, come on, man. Like, dog.
Nonsense. Yeah. Nonsense.
Yeah, that's good. That's probably interesting. I'm betting Leo was gone by that point.
Brian Denny says, you guys are on something. You feel like Leo Rush was a good Joker entrant. Complete dud. What are you, like, who are you expecting? I
strongly disagree with you, brother.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Disagree with you.
People were like, people were about to be excited for like the Big Show or something. Like, Leo Rush was good. Leo Rush was actually surprising because I kind of narrowed it down to John Silver, which would have been great. Mm-hmm. Big Show, which whatever. Nick Gage, which would have been awesome. But like Leo Rush, I didn't even like think of. I wasn't even thinking Leo Rush. So I thought it was good.
It was a legitimate surprise. And then Leo looked great when he came in. I mean, that Spanish Fly was awesome. What do you mean? I mean, the only other person I think would have been as good is if it was Andrade. But of course, they're probably saving Andrade for later.
People must have think, we just thought Brian Daniels was about to come out, man. Let me tell you something. He will be on WWE TV Friday Night SmackDown in July. I promise you. I can guarantee you that.
No. I mean, you're setting yourself up for disappointment if you.
Yeah, that's the thing. People want to talk themselves into like Andrade and Danielson and all this stuff, and it's like, man, last year was Matt Sydal. All right, like that's kind of the bar. It's like Matt Sydal, and I think it was supposed to be Gage last year, but still, like that's sort of the bar for this stuff. It doesn't have to be anything crazy here. Jose says, Caster the Lyric Blaster. There you go. He's a rapper as well. And then we have one more from Kevin Steets. Says the show definitely AEW putting out their young homegrown talent for everyone to see. Jungle Boy, Darby, Hangman, Britt, Sheeta, and Sammy. Yeah, homegrown in quotes. People get in trouble for using that term, apparently, from what I've seen. Phil, did you get in trouble with the homegrown stuff?
No, not I. I was watching that one from afar. But
I was like, nah, stay out of that one.
Y'all ever seen that meme of the dude smiling while you're looking out the window? That's like one of my favorite things. Somebody saying something, getting roasted for something that you agree with.
Yep, I was just like, yeah, man. Sorry that happened to you, brother.
Oh, my goodness, man.
The Blaster Kid sends in the super chat. Blaster Kid, if you have a text with that, you know, let me know. Send that in there. You some stars with it. All right.
Oh, I know what's coming. I know. Phil, you know what's coming next. I heard the gas.
Cody and Anthony at GoGo.
Come on,
man. Cody comes out with an ode.
Our American hero, Cody Man, Rhodes. Listen,
hey, Jeremy and Phil, I was an honorary Brit for this match. I'm telling you, I kept seeing the tweets, bread and beans.
Cody comes out with an ode to his father, Ric Flair, by wearing an extravagant robe all decked out in America.
So corny, bro. Oh, my God. Like, look, Jerm, I know you got to do your thing, bro, but, like, I can't take it no more, bro. He is the most elite, corny person, like, I've ever seen in my life. Like, bro.
All of that, corny.
Bro. That promo that he cut. I'm not gonna dive into it because I know I don't want to hold everybody too long, bro. But that's just like classic like white America, like don't have any other view of the outside world. Like I don't know what's going on except my bubble. Like let me tell you what I see in this world, and that's all that matters. I'm like, and then you giving this whole promo about the biracial child, and you got the plant dude standing in the thing, the white dude with the Black Lives Matter shirt, who was there with his biracial son, with his biracial son who tweeted it out on Twitter and shit. Like, I'm like, dude, like come on, man. Like I understand you trying to present something to the masses, bro, but you ain't gotta be corny about it. Like I'm not even gonna get into the whole situation with him and him, you know, all that. Yeah, there you go.
No, keep going.
But this is killing me, bro. Like it's gonna come to a point one day in Cody's life where he's going to have to like give his child a speech about or have a talk about, you know, them being black, that child being black and white. And I don't think he understands that. Cody kind of gives me like that Dabo Sweeney type vibe. And what I mean by that is Dabo Sweeney, he's like, you know, white man grew up poor. And he made it to another level of success. And like I remember he had a situation a couple of years ago. It was like a racial situation. And I don't think he's able to process this idea that black people or people of color can struggle on their way to the top. Like, I don't think I think his only mindset is like, look, if you got a chance out there, you can do it. It doesn't matter what skin color you are, whatever it may be. And I think Cody is kind of the same mindset in a way, and it's real weird, and that shit is dangerous, bro. Like the fact that you putting that out there, especially with the following that he has and him being so popular amongst a lot of wrestling fans, I don't think that's not smart, bro. And then the way that he keeps pushing this good old America native, I'm like, bro, this country is some shit. It is not like why do you keep trying to act like this country is so patriotic? But at the same time, that's his worldview and that's what he knows. And I'm telling you, it's gonna come a day where he's gonna have to address that with whoever it may be. And he's going to have to open his eyes, bro, because you can't keep banging this, you know, good old America, because it's two different views. I can't relate to what you're saying because it's not the truth. That's his truth, but that's not the real truth. And that's what's killing me. I really cannot stand when he does this. And not even like character stuff aside. I'm talking about just Cody Rhodes, the individual. Like this whole red, white, and blue shit that he got going on, like he need to scrap that. Like it's time, bro. Like just end it. Save us all, and let's get a move on it. And that's all I got to say. I had to let that out because I'm tired of seeing this shit. So there we go.
Andrew, go ahead, Phil.
I was not expecting Andrew to just put Cody in a pack like that.
Andrew's smoking the Cody pack tonight.
I'm not expecting that, but hey, man, you know.
But okay, so character Cody aside, I mean, talking about Cody, the character now, I think he needs a heel turn, bro.
No.
I mean, like, as far as like him trying to be like babyface, you know, I think it's time for Cody to go to the other side, because he seemed like he lost some steam to me. I don't know if that's just me. Oof. Like,
have you guys noticed that, you know, they make such a big deal? Somebody told me this last night, but they make such a big deal of the face and the heel entrance, and Cody doesn't come out of either one. He comes out of the middle. So it's interesting. It's like he's put himself above the same dynamic that everybody else is in. I just don't feel like this match needed the US versus UK thing. I feel like it was an entertaining match on its own. I feel like there was a way to build this without any of that. And I just feel like it's a dated wrestling trope. You just don't need to do this US versus the foreigner thing every time you do something like this. It just was totally unnecessary.
A go-go just had like black tights, right? Like there wasn't, he didn't even have like the Union Jack flag or anything on him. Like I said this after Cody's promo, which that focus group lied to him.
Bro. Hold on, wait.
You know DDP and Dean Malenko. DDP, because that's his focus group. They're like, yeah, good. So it seems good. Dusty would have loved it.
Bro, he said focus group, bro. What focus group?
That's what it was. He's like the legends and the coaches. He's like, yeah, of course, all those dudes loved it. Like, what are they gonna say?
Go ahead and do your thing. That sounds great. While these people are on the payroll of the company that you co-running, like, yeah, of course they're gonna agree with you. So, like, bro, that promo was the dumbest shit. Hey, bro, a go-go should have won. That's all I gotta say.
Here's my thoughts on it. I said it after Andrew's promo. I was like, it doesn't need this. Like, the story is that QT Marshall and these guys turned on him, and that's your story. Right there is a go-go. The story should have just been like, yeah, we don't need you. We actually think QT Marshall's a better trainer than you. Like, that's the story. You don't need to do America and US type stuff for this. And as far as this match goes, one, it was too long. And then Cody winning in the manner that he won. And it's like, what are we doing, dude? Like, this is what we're doing. You know, Ogogo's been wiping all these dudes out with one punch. Cody eats like 15 of them and he's fine. He hit like a couple body shots, an uppercut, and Cody's like, I'm good. Let me just hit, hit the vertebraker and win. It's like, man, this match sucked the air out of the crowd too. They were hot for everything up until this point. And I was like, nope.
Yeah.
We're done.
I was surprised how well the crowd reacted to Cody. Like, he got a sizable cheer when he came out, and I was really surprised by that.
I wonder why.
We are in Jacksonville.
We're in Florida. Yep.
Florida, man. So he got like a sizable reaction, and then I felt like that didn't last throughout the match, because I felt like it dragged on too long, and then I don't feel like there were any spots where it ever felt like Cody was going to actually lose this match.
No.
And I mean, I got to give a go-go all the credit in the world, because he looked great. Awesome Olympic slam at the beginning of this thing. I popped for that. Mm-hmm. Great looking frog splash. He looked great. This was like a great debut for a go-go. And I mean, to give Cody some credit, he did bust out like some stuff we haven't seen him do. Like, he bust out the cattle mutilation and the vertebraker. But this match needed to be much shorter than it was. It went on way too long.
Mm-hmm. I'm fine with Cody winning clean. I thought they should have done a different finish, though. I pitched a stoppage finish, like he attacks the eye of a go-go. That way you protect a go-go a little bit there, but it was just too long. A lot of super chats on this. Jose says, Cody was super nice to my daughter. Screw that British dude, but also says a go-go cool, though. A go-go is a star in the making. So yeah. I don't know which British dude he doesn't like, if a go-go is cool. Carlos Easy says we are all British tonight. let's see. I gotta scroll and find him. Shay Angel X says, what do you think is next for Cody? Any more foreign villains he can find to be the Dream one more time? Man, Andrew said it, but go ahead, Andrew.
I was gonna say people are gonna be real sick when he take that TNT title up on Miro. I'm telling you, you laughing.
Barbarian threat, man.
Oh man. And yeah, Phil, I was laughing like, oh no way. Phil's like, he probably right about that. that sounds like
Barbarian threat.
I know we're gonna get to a next match, but like, dude, I was not expecting Miro to be this over. Like,
oh
yeah, he's like getting like great reactions, bro. Like, I was surprised. I'm happy for him.
Carlos Easy says American Dream, corny roads.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Jordan Hanley says Cody has no self-awareness, unlike the Bucks. That's true, man. At least the Bucks and Omega, they kind of get it. Cody,
the Bucks and Omega, they do the smart thing.
Yeah.
Just be quiet.
Oh, Taker says the most dangerous person in AEW is Tony Schiavone. I don't get that reference. Anybody get that reference?
I know. Yeah, I don't know, man. What's next for Cody? I could see him going back into the TNT title scene, but man, they've got to figure out what they want the direction for him to be in and make this big enough matches for him. Because if it's just, you know, bring somebody else in, put them over, you got to figure out a way to do that other than him just getting these long, extravagant introductions like he did tonight and then predictably winning. It doesn't work.
Cyclops Better Than Wolverine says, after tonight, Cody is dead, so he pulled the Triple H book. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you want to know what could be next? It's they probably gonna try to run Cody Aldis at All Out.
I don't think they want to touch Aldis. Honestly, if they wanted to, they would have done already. Dante says Brandy could have really helped Cody here and isn't. She could have.
Maybe. Like I said, I think he's still over with the crowd that enjoys Cody. I just think you've got to get him out of
the crowd. Yeah.
That crowd.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna get that reaction in like Atlanta and all those other places. Oh, he's gonna get that reaction.
Yeah. Cody says Wyatt Russell's U.S. agent from Falcon Winter Soldier. I don't watch the show. Phil apparently does though.
Come on, man. Yeah, he's the replacement for Captain America, and he just doesn't get over it. Like, yeah, what we really want is more shoddy on our team, and kind of like Falcon. And we're still getting, you know, Wyatt on our TV. We don't want Wyatt. Give us Big Shotty.
D'Lo Diggs says, I laughed when Cody changed his music again.
I'm glad the Snoop is gone. I didn't like the Snoop version. So wasn't I'm good. Glad we're back to the regular Kingdom.
The Snoop version wasn't good.
No.
Guys, get in your super chats. If I missed one, I apologize. We had a bunch of comments and everything during the Cody match, so I had to kind of catch up on everything there. Before we get into kind of the second half on the show, it is a Sean Ross Sapp run-in.
Double or nothing? More like double and nothing. When you go to BlueChew.com and you use that code Fightful, maybe you just spent money on a pay-per-view. Maybe you've sent us a super chat, something like that. Maybe you're like, that wallet's looking kind of light right now. How about free? Use that code Fightful. You're going to get your first shipment of BlueChew.com for free. It's a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form at a fraction of the cost. No doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, nobody looking at your mail and saying, oh, wow. Wiener pills. None of that. It comes to you in a discreet package, so you can come not so discreetly from your package. Blue Chew tablets are made in the USA. They prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers. Once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription in days with that active ingredient that works best for you. It's not just for people that have a problem or that have ED. It's that confidence. You want that confidence, but it does help you achieve those harder, stronger erections. BlueChew.com, code Fightful. Put on your best pay-per-view performance. Go double or nothing.
Hey, bro, Sean wild, bro. He is wild for that last double.
This man pulled out a dildo on Russell Talk, all right? Like,
that's how you feeling?
Yes. The Dong Lord. He's just over here just pulling out dildos and stuff. Like
straight like that, huh?
What are you going to do with this?
Just like
Yeah. What are you going to do with this man? Kimchi said Cody, it was a super chat, said Cody is part Cuban. He claimed.
Yeah, motherfucker got 0.5% Cuban. Talk about he Cuban. People be killing me. He need to take it. Get off Ancestry, bro. Get off Ancestry.
His mother's called Cuban, right?
Oh,
I think that's what it is.
I take that back.
Phil got him with that one.
I was just trying to clarify it. I didn't want anybody to come for my man. Trying to help him out.
My apologies. I didn't know. Good looking out, Phil. Good looking out. They was gonna come for me, bro. Good looking out.
AEW TNT Championship match: Miro against Lance Archer. Andrew said it earlier. Miro is over. This man is over. He's been killing it since he dropped Kip Sabian and everything. The thing he did on Busted Open, where he's talking about, hey, you know, you're my home, just come here to murder people, go home, spend my money. Tony ain't my boss, he's my business partner. He's cutting these promos. Oh, Miro's great. I love this match. They beat the hell out of each other. Two big meaty men slapping meat. Jake Roberts came down with the snake, and Miro said, fuck your snake, and tossed it up the ramp, and Miro ended up choking him out. With the accolade, I don't know what he calls it in AEW.
Game over.
But the game over. All right, there you go. Phil, what did you think of this match?
I thought it was a little long, but I think it was possibly coming out of the last match because it dragged. And so at this point, it was like we were trying to get the energy back into the show. But man, I knew once Miro finally got a title and he got like a real push, it was off to the races. And like this totally proved it. I mean, he's been cutting great promos, as you said, and the online game has been great. The Twitter stuff, even what he tweeted after the show, and he was saying, man, call PETA. Let's make a fight here, man. He's been fantastic, and I'm super happy for him. Like, he's one of those guys that deserved something like this for a long time. So I was happy to see the fans, happy to see him back.
Yeah, he's definitely like living up to what everybody thought he could be. And I think they're doing a real good job right out of the gate building him like as a strong TNT champion. Like, he got the win over Dante Martin. And then, you know, of course, he got the win over Lance Archer. I think it's inevitable down the line that Darius is going to come back and try to avenge his brother's loss and get a TNT title match. Like, Miro is like, he's on like clicking on all cylinders right now. I'm trying to think about like who could be next to challenge him. Hopefully, you know, it's not that scenario that we talked about just a few minutes ago. But like I think it's gonna be somebody that you know, somebody they can work with in the ring, and somebody that's gonna be real smooth. And yeah, Miro, he's doing like an excellent job, bro.
I love this version of Miro. He's been tremendous. Archer, I wonder where he goes now, because it seems like Jake Roberts and him maybe going separate ways. And Archer is a good promo. Like, he doesn't really need Jake Roberts to be there as a promo. I think Jake can help somebody else in that role. What do you see for Archer, Andrew?
I don't even know, bro. Like, I really can't call it right now, but I was going to ask you, I was like, do you kind of feel like sometimes like Jake kind of, and I like Jake Roberts, but I feel like Jake Roberts, like, I still think that promo that he cut on Cody back last year in March, that was like one of the best promos from that has happened in AEW so far. But like it just feels like Lance is kind of outgrown Jake in a way. Like, he doesn't need him around him, like, to speak for him. Lance could just do his own thing. And like, I don't know what it is. He's just like not clicking anymore. But like, as far as Lance goes, like, maybe, you know, just put him on a nice little 5-match win streak, you know, just to build him back up. And then, you know, whatever happens from there.
Yeah, I don't know what's next. I mean, possibly a better promo, because all of the Jake stuff we saw on Dark Side of the Ring, because he was pew, pew, shooting.
Isn't Jake's Dark Side of the Ring this week about, well, not his Grizzly Smith's Dark Side of the Ring, like, but I mean, Jake's gonna be in that. Isn't that this week?
I'm not sure if it's this week. I don't know the Dark Side schedule that well, but yeah, he'll obviously be a big part of that one. But yeah, as Phil said, he was shooting on that Warrior one. Zach Barber said, I feel like they overcompensated for the criticism of Gogo not wrestling. It made no sense that he played Dakota Strength. It was too long of a match. Like,
well, he should have slept him, bro.
Yeah, like, I read you. Him, bro.
Right off the rip.
Yeah, I felt like the story should have been, you're going against a guy that's new to wrestling and he's mostly a striker. Why didn't Cody just out-wrestle him? You're the wrestler in this match. And I didn't feel like that came across well here.
Yeah. AEW Women's Championship match. Akira Shida against Britt Baker. We got it. Britt Baker, the face of AEW, the face of AEW women's division. She defeated Sheeta, tapped her out with the locked jaw. She'd almost rolled out of it with a crucifix pin. Britt rolled back into it, got the submission victory, got her big moment, celebrated with Rebel, got a big hug from Tony Schiavone at the top of the stage. It's Britt Baker's world, Phil. We're just living in it.
Yeah, I was happy that one, they gave Sheeta her moment this week on Dynamite, giving her her first in-ring promo and letting her get the cheer that she deserved all the time. I thought that was great. And then on top of that, she looked so great in the vignette that they showed beforehand. Mm-hmm. She actually got to, you know, talk that talk a little bit. And so I think she came out of the end of this more over than I expected. And the crowd was more behind Sheeta at points in this match than I expected, because, you know, it seemed like everybody was unanimously behind Britt, but there was a lot of Sheeta chants out there. I was surprised. Man, and Sheeta dominated this match for most of the match. And I think that's the right call. I think the right call is to have Britt cheat to win, because obviously Sheeta's a better in-ring worker than you. So it would have made sense for her to just beat her clean.
Mm. Yeah, I definitely think, you know, of course, I think we all, you know, unanimously agree that it was the right decision to have Britt win the table. It was just her time, bro. Like, yeah. And Sheeta has had, I think Sheeta has had a really, really good run as AEW Women's Champion. It's kind of unfortunate because when, you know, I don't think AEW's Women's Division was as polished as it is now. Like, they got a lot of different key players in the division. You got people in the wings like Jade Cargill, Red Velvet. You got Big Swole waiting out there. You got so many different people, Thunder Rosa out there. Like, it's so many different people that I'm forgetting right now.
I can't see.
Conti, man, like Anna Jay coming back somewhere down the line, like they didn't have all that back then with Sheeta, so Sheeta was kind of limited as far as like her options go and as far as TV time as well, because there wasn't anybody to play off with. But she did do a really solid job as champion, bro, especially going through that whole pandemic era. You know, we kind of end up looking like we at the back end of that. So I'm like Phil said, I'm glad that they, you know, they properly gave her flowers on Friday night. And, you know, she cut a real good promo. She got to talk her talk, like Phil said, and the stuff, clowning Britt Baker a little bit. And that was good to see. She's going to be like a key player in AEW's women's division for like years to come. But like, it was just Britt's time, bro. Like, it wasn't even like, you know, it just wasn't even the option. Like, I think it was just, you know, after a year long as champion being presented the way Sheeta was, and it was just time to pass the torch to the next person. And then, you know, here we go.
I mean, Britt said it herself, like, carrying this division and through the pandemic was tough. And she's like, I don't know if I could have done that, because, you know, Britt was not at the point she was this time last year to where she is now. Yeah, the division is so much stronger now. And hopefully we get more stories. That was always my complaint about Sheeta as champions. Like, she'd have these very good matches, like that Penelope Ford match last year. They haven't done like anything with Penelope Ford as a wrestler since, but like, it's kind of a slept on match. She was having, and then she faced like Abaddon. Like, she was having some really good matches. There just wasn't a lot of like meat to those matches. It was just, hey, it's a title defense. I hope we get more stories out of it. I hope Sheeta, I imagine she's still going to play a big part in the division. Carlos Easy says, happy that Sheeta got her celebration. It was Britt's time, and I'm glad they pulled the trigger. Was this a face turn for Britt? Did anybody kind of get that at the end?
She still cheated to win.
And
I mean, I think afterwards, and you can totally hear the thank you Sheeta chants once they were going backstage. So I didn't feel like it was a heel. I didn't feel like it was a turn.
Okay. So I was gonna ask you guys, like, how would you kind of map out Britt's sort of road to All Out? Like, I was thinking, of course, like you got to do the Thunder Rosa rematch, like at one of these like specials, like probably at the Fyter Fest or Fight for the Fallen, and then like maybe throwing in like a Red Velvet or, you know, somebody mixing there. And I think at All Out, I think the match at All Out for the women's title is Britt versus Chris Statlander. I think that's the way to go. Yeah.
I mean, you got to go back to Swole. Swole beat her. Swole was number one contender before the tournament, never got her title shot again after that. So I feel like you got to go back to Swole at some point. And that's the great thing about switching it and making a heel champion. There are so many baby faces that she can wrestle now. Man, you can move Layla Hirsch up at some point. There are so many people she can work with. But yeah, I mean, Statlander seems like a clear choice for All Out.
See, I think I'd go Thunder Rosa at All Out. I love the stat. I love going Statlander, though. That's a good call there. But
I'm about to say, maybe they do Thunder another Rosa. Maybe they do another hardcore style match, possibly to follow up on the last one.
Yeah, like, man, imagine that in front of a crowd, Chicago crowd at that. Like, That'd be huge. Yeah, I would go Thunder Rosa. I'm completely fine if they want to go Statlander.
Hey, Thunder Rosa, her contract with the NWA is up at the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
I know she can't wait, bro. I know she can't wait, bro. I know she can't.
She's going to be trapped in the NWA forever if she lost to Camille. Fortunately, she just took her to a time limit. God, that thing. Darby Allin and Sting against Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page. Sting, 60 years old. He takes a suplex on the ramp, pops up, just going after it right away. Darby Allin gets just yeeted into the front row. They had wrestlers there, thank God. But man, that was a spot. D'Lo Diggs just hashtag yeet that shit. Just tossed him right in there. I love the finish of this match as Scorpio is going for a slingshot cutter and Sting holds onto the ropes. Scorpion death drop. 1, 2, 3. That Sting looked great. Not even great for a 60-year-old. Like he just looked good in this match. Obviously, they limited what he was going to do, but
right.
He looked good. Phil, what'd you think?
Yeah, this was served his purpose. Got Sting into a debut in front of a live crowd. Got a great reaction. Man, that splash he did off of the stage, I was surprised. I was like, okay.
slow down.
Yeah, it was, but yeah, he looked great. He looked great in ring. Man, Ethan Page is fantastic. Like throwing Darby out of the ring, his reaction when Scorpio Scorpio got the move and he's just running back and forth on the apron. I can't wait till they are ready to push Ethan Page as a singles guy. He's just so good. His humor fits perfectly with AEW. I love Ethan Page. The only thing I didn't care for about this match is it feels like I'm worried, what is the plan with Scorpio? Like you had him win the brass ring and then he lost his title match. So it doesn't look like he's going to go back into the title picture. So what exactly are you doing with him at this point?
Phil, you done said it all, my brother. you done said it all. But first, I do got to give props to Sting, bro. He did really good. Like we can't even graze it. Like I know Jeremy mentioned it, but like this dude is 63 years old, bro.
Yeah, 62, 63. Like, yeah.
He did great for somebody his age, bro. Like he performed really well. He still looks in shape. You know what I'm saying? He looked like he take care of himself. So like, you know, props to Sting for sure. Like I'm glad he got that big, you know, big hoorah moment. Crowd went crazy for him to see him get the win. But like it's like I think Darby Allin's gonna be fine. You know, Darby Allin is over. Like he's stamped in. Like he's good now. Like Darby's stamped in. I think Ethan Page is sort of finding his way a little bit, like Phil mentioned, bro. But I don't know what it is. Like it just feels like they haven't been able to find like that thing, that one thing for Scorpio Sky for like to really sink his teeth into it. It's just not clicking. I don't know what it is. Like I felt like it was at the beginning with him and Ethan, but it feels like Ethan is kind of like rising above him a little bit, like just as far as like the character stuff, and people are starting to like pay attention to Ethan a little bit more to Scorpio, and it's like I don't know, man. Like it's, I feel like Scorpio is a good baby face, but he can be a good heel at the same time, and it's like it just seemed like he just never recovered, like coming out of like that, or not recovered, but like it was just never anything more after, you know, he won the AEW World Tag Team title. So I remember when that all that stuff was happening, he was over his hell, and then like it just.
Yeah,
just went away.
He was the first person to pin Jericho. He was the first person to pin Jericho in AEW.
Well, yeah, I mean, but see, even after that, I feel like he was prepared. He was on a good trajectory when he cut that promo on Dark, and he had all of that momentum.
I remember.
And then he got the TNT title match, and then just lost, and that was it. And then, so when I figured when he won the brass ring, I was like, okay, that's it. Like they're gonna put him back in the title picture, and then he just lost, and I was like, okay. And I think he's still in a good spot. I enjoy him as a heel. If when they go back on tour, he's back to doing, you know, this is the worst town I've ever been in and stuff like that again. Cool. But like, I feel at this point, he's ready to be in a title picture, whether that's the TNT title picture or the world title picture. You've got to move him up at some point. You got to do something to progress him forward.
It seems like Scorpio, like throughout his AEW tenure, like he has these like moments where it's like, okay, this is when they're going to do this with him, and then they like never had, like I even remember what was that, the late night Dynamite show, the match he had with Ben Carter,
yeah.
And then I remember after that everybody was like, okay, this is when they gonna get behind Scorpio, and it's like they did, but then, you know, it was, I don't know, man, like hopefully, you know, once they start touring again and going to different cities, then, you know, it things will pick back up for him. But at least on TV every week, so you know.
It was weird. It was weird how he just like kind of split from SCU, and there was nothing much there. He just kind of like turned heel, and it seemed like he was ready for like a singles push to the heel. And then they just put him with Ethan Page, and I think their dynamic has been great. I think they've been a very good tag team. But Scorpio said it himself. He's like, "We're two singles guys as a tag team." So I don't know how long he is for this. We'll see what they do with Scorpio Sky. Valba, I apologize if I screwed that up, is the man they called Sting. He can still do this. He can still do that. He's still big as a bull. Still quick as a cat.
Did Jim Ross say that?
No, that's the that's a theme song. The man they call Sting. The man they call Sting. He does this. He does that. He's big as a bull, quick as a cat. You look fine. He looks cool. He's his own man. He's nobody fool. Man, they call Sting. Man, they call Sting.
I do not remember this.
That was the banger WCW theme, baby. Wait,
you just reminded me with JR. Jim Ross did a call during the car match that I hated. I hated it. He goes, man, these two may be ladies, but they're not fighting like ladies. Ross, don't do that again. Straight up, don't do that again.
There is no worse call from Jim. Like, and look, JR is like one of my childhood. Like, you know what I'm saying? But we all love JR, bro. You know what I'm saying? He just says stupid shit sometimes. But like that thing he said about Anna Jay at last year's All Out, bro. When he was like, what was it? He was like, did she have a wardrobe malfunction or was that daydream? I was like, bro, what? You said that on TV? I was like, oh my goodness. Yeah. JR, man, he quite the character. But I say at the end of that Sting match, he was calling, and I think he like coughed like right at the
time. Yeah, right. Yes. Somebody called. I was like, what is happening?
He was like, he had the scorpion. And I was like, what the hell going on over there?
Like Barbara says, can we talk about how Sting looked better in his first match in 6 years than Taker has looked in any match in the last six? That kind of the boatyard. He's the goat. That's why the Stinger. There, baby. It's the man. The Sting. He's the man. Taker looked good in that tag team match at Extreme Rules, right? Come on, let's give the man some credit.
Okay, I remember that.
That was good. They've done more to not overexpose Sting. I mean, he is on TV too much during the week, but they don't overexpose him.
Yeah, I mean, he was working like a tag team match. Like, I don't know. I'm not thinking Sting is going to have a great match with Goldberg in Saudi Arabia either. Like, you know, put him in that position. And I don't know if Sting's going to be able to do much with that either. So I'm not the biggest Undertaker fan, but let's calm a little bit down on the slander and realize that Sting was in a tag team match and protected in that regard compared to doing singles matches with Goldberg.
Yeah.
AEW championship match, Kenny Omega, Orange Cassidy, pack triple threat match. Omega retains after just a lot of shenanigans at the end. Yeah. Omega gets he knocks out the referee. He hits Pac with all the title belts, which I thought was hilarious, honestly. He hit him with all four of the titles that he had, and then Aubrey Edwards comes out. He crucifix Orange Cassidy, gets the victory. Orange Cassidy very over, but Kenny Omega remains the AEW World Champion. Andrew, what'd you think?
So, like, I was kind of, like, in and out for, like, the first 10 minutes of this match. But, like, towards the end, they really got me hooked. Especially when, like you mentioned, Omega started hitting Pac over the head with the belts at the end. And, you know, Don Callis jumping off commentary, you know, immediately going to Omega's defense. Like, they had, like, some really good near falls in this match. Like, it was some points in there. Like, I didn't think Omega was going to lose the belts. But, like, they did a good job of, like, making it seem like it was, like, a slight possibility that it could happen. Like, just maybe even a chance. So, I think all three of them, like, they deserve their props for this match. And, like, I don't think there will ever be a point in AEW when Orange Cassidy isn't over. Like, people love Orange Cassidy. And I think they did a real good job of establishing Pac as well. Because I feel like Pac was kind of just, like, the dude in there. Like a little bit, like I guess leading up to it, but like as the match went on and you see what he can do, you get reminded of what he can do. It was like, yeah, I mean, yeah, of course, Pac belongs in this, you know, in this match. But yeah, we got Omega up next at the Against All Odds show against Moose for the Impact World title. So yeah, I think that's going to be a good one. I'm interested to see what they're going to do. And they can go a lot of different ways, like as far as Omega going forward.
Phil? Yeah.
Man, this started slow, but once it hit its note, like, it just took off. I thought this was one of the better matches on the card. Like, Kenny coming out with all of the titles for this was the biggest flex in the world. Callis is hilarious. Like Andrew said, him yelling shit into the microphone and jumping off out of his seat and running down to help was hilarious. The undertone of him throwing the Impact title to Omega first to help him win the match. Long-term booking, kids. That was I thought that was really, really clever. And then continuing to throw belts in was hilarious. Pac looked awesome in this thing. Like, I cannot believe that they were really using this guy as a cruiserweight. This guy should be in your world title picture. He's just too good. Man, that was one point where he low-blowed Cassidy and then just, like, turned around and jumped out, did a suicide dive, and then immediately jumped back on the post, came in, and did this 450 off the top, and did it all seamlessly. Like, it was amazing. He did several spots in this match that were just incredible. Cassidy never felt like a gimmick guy. Every time he used the pockets, like, it looked cool, and he did something cool, like, especially coming off the top rope when he did it. He did the senton he did off of the top rope with it.
Yeah.
And then slid back in the ring and did the kip up, and it all looked great. Like, at some points, it looked like Cassidy could really win this match, and every time he almost won, the crowd was erupting every time. This was just a lot of fun, man. And I have to assume this is setting up for a one-on-one with Omega and Cassidy. It has to be.
Bro, isn't it crazy, like, how, like, Orange Cassidy, like, you really believe that he could be AEW World Champion? Like, bro, that shit is crazy. Like, you, like, I'm pretty sure, like, in other places, and I'm not just specifically talking about WWE, like, maybe, and maybe in other places as well, but I don't think Orange Cassidy would be considered, like, you know, world champion type guy. But, like, in AEW, bro, like, I could believe that he could probably pull it off, and I don't think people would complain at all. I think he would get a hell of a reaction if that were to happen one day. But, like, I think they did that. But they've done, like, such a great job of, like, keeping Orange Cassidy, like, you know, his character so, like, on point. Yeah, he's doing, like, really good.
Yeah.
Carlos Easy says Orange needs to win a belt before the year ends. I don't think it's going to be the world title. The TNT title, he could potentially get that over Miro. And then the tag team titles, I mean, I think Trent and Chucky are kind of the teams there. They introduced the Trios title at some point. That could certainly go to them. But he's over, like, without the belt. And, like, having the belt, I'm not saying, like, this guy needs to be champion, but, like, he just, like, doesn't need it. He's just a guy who just, like, doesn't need the belt.
And don't Bray Wyatt him. Don't Bray Wyatt him.
Yeah.
He doesn't need it, bro.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I think this proved he's a main eventer tonight, man. I think he looked like he belongs in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Felice says the crowd lost it when he almost stole the pin. He's over. He's very, very over. And Carlos Easy said, can tell TK is a huge fan of the distraction after all those run-ins. So I wanted to mention this at the end of this. A lot of distractions on this show. Like, one in every single match except for the tag team match. We had the first match. We had Team Taz. We had Rebel coming out. We had Jake coming out. And this one, we had Callis coming out. What am I forgetting here? Cody in a go-go. Maybe there was no distraction there. I mean, Arn was out there, but we forget about that match anyway. The Young Bucks, the tag team match, we had Kazarian and the Good Brothers. There's a lot of distraction stuff throughout this show. Fortunately, like, it wasn't always, all right, distraction, roll up, finish, like we see elsewhere, but still, you gotta kind of, like, produce that and cut that down. Like, Callis doing everything here, Omega taking out the ref, like, it lost something for me. Because I'm like, I've seen a distraction in every single match on this show. So when Don Callis does it in this match, I was like, oh, another one, instead of, oh, man, I really hate Kenny Omega for cheating. I don't think that's like, their intention. Yeah, QT interfered in the Cody match. So there you go. There's just a lot of run-ins and stuff. Cut that down.
Don't,
Are you good, Phil? Good.
The only thing that I would say, like I said, that made the Callis one interesting was I immediately noticed when he threw the impact belt in. I was like, that's really, really smart.
Yeah, see, that one to me, like, I liked it. But again, I would have liked it more if I didn't see it all up and down the show. Go ahead, Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was going to say, like, kind of, like, jump it, like, still on Omega, but, you know, him having a match with Andrade coming up at Triple Mania, do y'all think at some point we see Andrade pop up to ambush Kenny Omega on Dynamite at some point to kind of, you know, tie that in for the AAA Mega Championship?
Phil?
I could see it. I could have seen it was very possible that he could have been in the Casino Battle Royal, but I think they're saving any kind of match with Omega for the AAA show. And that's the only reason why I don't think he's turned up yet.
Right.
Man, if they get Andrade on the show, I kind of thought that maybe he comes out at the end of this match, but then I saw him on vacation on a boat with Charlotte and Rick and Roosh and everybody. I was like, oh yeah, he ain't leaving that to come to this show. Sorry. But man, if they get Andrade on the show and they couldn't get a single Rich Swann appearance building up to that match, that's a bad look for Impact. Like, that's, man, you can't get him on the show, but Andrade is gonna pop up. Like, I hope he does. I still think they mishandled that Rich Swann thing, not having him at least show up once on Dynamite.
That's a man. Like, I just don't get how that, like, as much as that match was promoted, like, they didn't have Rich at least send in a promo, you know, just to have some air on screen. Like, Rich Swann's on Dynamite, calls out Omega, yada, yada, yada. Like, at least that, you know what I'm saying? People ain't going to have him do a run-in. But it's like, they just, like, AEW was like, hey, that's that thing that has happened over there on Impact and our guys over there, so go check it out. Like, hopefully... Well, I don't think they will, but hopefully they, you know, we get some type of appearance from Moose at some point. Like, you know, hopefully Moose gets that type of shine that, you know, Rich Swann couldn't.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of is I'm assuming they are doing something else that's like a co-promotional show. That's the only reason I'm thinking maybe they didn't do it. Other than that, I don't know why they never had Rich on that.
It was a weird decision. Tony Schiavone announces that Mark Henry is All Elite. He will speak on Dynamite. He will be a commentator for the AEW Rampage show. And I'm very, very sorry. Someone sent in a super chat that said, Mark Henry, great addition to the 17-man booth. And I did not write down the name. I very much apologize for that. So if that was you, noted in the chat, and I will correct my mistake. But what do we think of Mark Henry? Anything?
Mark is such a big WWE guy that I was surprised. Like, this is sort of like the Paul White thing. I was like, I did not see Mark leaving, but this just goes to show there are so many people that want to do other things that wrestle with WWE, and they're not giving them the opportunities. Like, there's no reason why Christian shouldn't be a WWE right now. There's no reason why Mark shouldn't be coaching. I mean, you've got Bianca Belair, which is somebody he brought to that company in like a main event scene right now. She's a world champion. He should be coaching over there. He should be talent scouting, something. And I think it's a missed opportunity on their part to let him go somewhere else. And in that way, I think he's going to help AEW a lot, you know, behind the scenes and coaching and other things. Now, he said some things I think are goofy, and I don't necessarily care for his personality, but that's neither here nor there.
like what Mark, of course, like, you know, just like Phil said, I think he is going to be a great asset to AEW on the scouting department, because, you know, he did, like Phil said, got Bianca Belair, Braun Strowman, you know what I'm saying? Like, he obviously has an alpha talent. So and then, you know, he goes to those strong man and, you know, strong woman competitions, and, you know, finds like these elite athletes, you know what I'm saying, that people don't even know about. So he's obviously going to be a great addition. I think he'll be solid on commentary as well, you know, backstage and stuff. But yeah, I don't think it's going to be, you know, I think it's going to be a good addition to AEW overall. And, you know, I think it's going to be, I don't think he's going to be the last person to, you know, get brought in, because, like, I think WWE, they need like a real a reset of how they structure things, because they have a lot of people that they could be using in these different roles. They just choose not to. Like, even me, like, I think letting Tom Phillips go was like probably one of the biggest mistakes that they could have done on the commentary front. And if I'm Tony Khan, I'm looking at that Rampage show and I'm like, hey, we need to get Tom Phillips on there, and then 5 months after that, we could slot JR out and then put Tom Phillips on Dynamite with Shivani and Excalibur and then have it like that. Because JR even said, then JR said, like, this is his contract year or like by the end of by next change. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a lot of people because they signed a lot of people to a 3-year deal when when it the promotion started. So
Scorpio's deal is up this year too.
Yeah, a lot of deals coming up.
And Janela's too, I think. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting, man. But if I'm Tony Khan, man, I'm looking at Tom Phillips, get him on that Rampage show, and then once you don't want to disrespect, you know what I'm saying, and like bum rush him out, but like slowly start to make that transition because you know, but Tom, I'm curious to see how Tom Phillips would be in an environment that's not WWE commentary because I think he would be really great.
Yeah, I agree. If you're going to keep JR, he's so great in those backstage interview segments, like the pre-taped ones. Like, I would keep him for those, but you could easily slot him out for somebody on the commentary desk. Mm-hmm. I mean, I forgot until they were playing all of the stuff from the Impact match. We got Mauro calling on Mega Match this year, which is still crazy to me. And he's obviously said he still wants to commentate and do wrestling. Man, if they can get Mauro. Oh man, that would
And just let him do his thing, bro.
Get Mauro on one of their shows. He would be great.
It was Bid Moon who said the Mark Henry bit there. Man Antonio says Tony said New Japan said yes to his promo on Nick Khan. So I guess he ran that by New Japan and they're like, yeah, we're cool with it. I mean, who in New Japan said it would be a thing, but
Tama Tonga.
Yeah, it was totally Tama Tonga. He was like, sounds good to me.
Tama trying, he trying to get himself everywhere, bro.
He really is. He really is, though. We are at the main event, guys. Last chance, get in your super chats. Leave us a thumbs up on the video. You can subscribe to the channel. Stadium Stampede, Inner Circle against the Pinnacle. This was basically a story of what do we have? 4 different parts here. So we had Jericho pairing off with MJF, FTR pairing off with Santana Ortiz, Hager pairing off with Wardlow, and Guevara pairing off with Spears. Started with Inner Circle rappelling down in the stadium, and then they just kind of they battled all throughout the TIAA stadium, the Jaguar Stadium. We got cameos from Urban Meyer and Charlie Strong there as Jericho was throwing footballs at MJF. We tried to have a stabbing in the freezer. That didn't happen. We had a cameo from Conan, who was the DJ as FTR.
That was amazing. bro, Santana and them, like I like the part when they had Tully Blanchard like made him take a drink before they fought, and then Santana looked back and he was like, "You're," and then Conan was like, bro, that was great, bro. But Conan is the man, bro. He's the man.
They battled at the bar. Wasn't much of a party going on there. Not a lot of people there. You know, they were watching the event.
Hey, at the bar, I was say, hey Phil, you saw Baron Black get slapped, bro.
Yes, my man Baron Black, man. Why you always gotta take the L, man? Like, come on, man.
Catch a strays, man.
Mind his own business, man. The other guy that walked in, and Ortiz just smashed a bottle over his head. I was like, that guy was doing nothing. He would just sit there.
And then so Jericho and MJF battle actually into the live stadium. They're battling in the crowd and everything. MJF threatens to toss Jericho off the balcony. Doesn't happen. Jericho puts him to a table. We have Sammy and Spears coming out. Sammy runs him over with the golf cart, ends in the ring. Sammy hits the 630 for the pin. Andrew, Inner Circle lives. Everyone sings Judas. Everyone goes home happy. Andrew, what'd you think?
Yeah, looking at the overall, you know, thing of this, I think it was the right decision to have the Inner Circle stay together. I'm not, as everybody knows, I'm not the biggest Jericho guy or Jake Hager guy for that matter. But I think the group overall, they should have stayed together. And I think Santana and Ortiz, I think it's time for them to sort of still be within the circle, but sort of branch out into the tag team division. Sammy Guevara, man, like he's done like a complete, you know, 360 from you know, everything that unfolded last summer, you know, but his comments came about Sasha Banks and stuff like that. And I'm not going to be that person to tell somebody, you know, how to feel about, you know, his comments, because I think that's, you know, that's just some foul shit that you should just never say. So I'm, you know, I can't tell nobody to ever get over that, but I don't think people should. But, you know, I think that he has done a good job of, you know, coming out and apologizing for what he said and, you know, just taking ownership, because I think that's the smart thing to do. You should have did that. Tessa Blanchard, you know, that's the smart thing to do, you know, take ownership of what you said. You know, I think that's the best bet. And, you know, you can let people decide if they want to forgive you or not. But I think Sammy Guevara has done like a, you know, he's done really well coming out of that situation, and, you know, publicly and, you know, on screen as well. So, you know, I think it was a, you know, a solid job from everybody involved in the match. And, you know, it was good. You know, I know there was some parts of at the, like near the end where people were like, all right, let's wrap this thing up, man. It's getting a little late. Let's tie this thing together. So yeah, it was a good celebration. That was, you know, perfect way to end the pay-per-view with the fireworks and all that good stuff.
Phil?
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of this. Having so much energy from the crowd and going to a cinematic match and taking your crowd energy out of it was an odd choice, especially in the main event. And then we started with like this boy band entrance where they slid down and like walked up with like the sparkly behind them. It was like, I was like, this couldn't be any more corny, but I was like, go for it. It took a while for me to get into the match because it was so cheesy at the beginning, but I mean, it's Stadium Stampede is supposed to be, but I think it just because it was such a long card, it was like, okay. But it was still an entertaining match. I really like the idea of ending it with Sammy, because Sammy technically cost him the Blood and Guts match because he did quit for Jericho, and having him kind of, you know, take over in the fourth and, you know, pin Spears, I thought that was great. Him withstanding the chair shot and doing a beautiful 630. I thought that was great.
Oh, bro, that 630 was clean. I know. Yeah. Bro, it's some of those I look at, I'm like, I know that hurt. Like, I know as he landed like flush, like right, like body to body. I was like, oh, I know that hurt.
Yeah, it looked great. And I mean, I was concerned if you're not going to break up the Inner Circle, because to me, I think the Inner Circle has kind of outlasted its shelf life. Like, I think Sammy has outgrown them. And I think Santana and Ortiz need to be a tag team. Like, I think it's just time. They are the best baby faces out of that group. And I just don't buy Jericho as a baby face, or Hager for that matter.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just think they just stand out and they're ready to move on. But the good thing about this, it didn't make the pinnacle look bad because Spears took the pin. It wasn't like you had something crazy like Jericho pinning MJF to end this. Like, I think this was the perfect way to keep Inner Circle together and protect the pinnacle.
Fortunately, this match didn't just like end in the freezer and then everybody else was just battling around the arena and stuff while the match is over. I didn't see referees in a lot of these segments. All right. You know, the match has ended in the ring. I don't know how I feel about that, but I get they had to go to the live crowd for everything.
What's her name? Cassie Lee Peyton Royce. She was there. She was in attendance. She had a sort of a weird interaction. Somebody had took a picture of her, like holding the front camera. And then she must have, she found it on the internet. She was like, you could have just asked for a picture. I was like, weird exchange right there, my brother.
Some super chats on Stadium Stampede. Cyclops better than Wolverine says, can't believe Team Q won looking like bikers for Trump. Kevin Steed says, don't know how.
Look at Phil.
Kevin Steed says, don't know how he does it, but Sammy should be the one to beat Miro for the TNT title. Could see that. Definitely see that. And Kimchi says, Inner Circle winning made Sammy an absolute babyface hero. Did they, like I said, it was a nice little callback to, you know, Sammy was the one who quit and he got his big moment. Did anybody have an inkling that potentially Inner Circle turned on Sammy at the end here? Because when he was up on the shoulders there, everything, and they're having this big celebration, I had a small part of me was just like, what if they just turn on him right now? Like, this is the big closer, the big angle, the big hook to get you to tune in on Dynamite. Didn't happen. I'm glad it didn't happen. By the way, I like the celebration, everybody singing Judas. I'm glad it didn't happen. There was a very small part of me that was like, this could happen, right? Anybody else feel that way? Andrew?
Like, just a little part, but like, I was thinking, like, I think that everything that has happened so far between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle. Like the main thing about this is eventually going to be a singles match between MJF and Chris Jericho. And I think that's probably going to happen at All Out. I think like Blood and Guts and even this is just the lead up to that. And then everybody else is kind of going to go their separate ways as far as like, you know, doing their own individual things on the lead up to the MJF versus Chris Jericho match. But I definitely think that, you know, it could have been just a possibility of, you know, them tanning on Sammy Guevara. And, you know, like Phil said, like, Sammy probably could have that probably would have took Sammy even further, like as a baby face. Like I think that people would have been just 100% on Sammy's side. But like I don't know what that would have did for Santana and Ortiz. Like maybe they could have been the people like what the hell are y'all doing? Maybe Jake could have held him on his shoulders and then Santana and Ortiz like, why would y'all do that? You know what I'm saying? But like how would that affect MJF and Jericho? Like is MJF the baby face? Like it's like so many different like weird things that could have came out of that. But yeah.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if they want to do any program coming out of this, it should be MJF versus Sammy. Like, I feel like that's the match. I feel like that's been the match from the beginning of this entire thing, even all the way back to when MJF joined Inner Circle briefly. Like, the tension has always been there between the two of them. Like, I feel like that's the match they should be going towards. Mm-hmm.
Closing thoughts. Warren Mills says, I thought overall the show was fun as hell with the crowds. Some matches and booking decisions felt disjointed and or wrong. 8 out of 10 overall. Ryan Martin said, fun show, but some of the booking decisions were confusing. I wasn't a fan of the finish to Omega's match, the lack of rules in both tag team matches as well. Phil, overall thoughts on the show?
I thought this was a very, very good show. The only thing is, like I said, I felt it was a little long. I still believe that you didn't really need the Battle Royal in that spot on the card because it really slowed down the entire card. I don't know. But other than that, it was really, really good show. I think there were matches on it that I wasn't looking forward to that ended up being really good. So, I didn't have too much complaints. Other than like the go-go match, I felt like that was probably the worst match on the card. But I felt like the rest of the matches were really good. I didn't feel like any of the other matches, I didn't feel like the booking decisions were off. I felt like most of them were the right decisions. I thought it was a great show.
Andrew? Definitely think it was a great show. The Serena D Rio match, that was the match of the night for me for sure. Seeing Jungle Boy get his big moment, that was another plus. And I think they made the right decision with having Christian sort of, quote unquote, pass him the torch, or, you know, however you want to phrase it. I'm just thinking about like what could be some of the marquee matches at the next All Out show. I know we kind of all like simultaneously kind of agree that it could be Britt Baker and Statlander, or, you know, another variation of maybe Thunder Rosa versus Britt Baker in another match. I'm going to throw a bold prediction. Kenny Omega versus Samoa Joe at All Out.
Extra bold.
Omega and Joe at All Out. Maybe Joe attacks Kenny Omega at the end of All Out.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe that. There we go.
All right.
There we go.
I still think it's Hangman and Omega.
Yeah. Right.
All Out. Yeah. But
there we go. We'll I just see. Had throw a bold one out there. Just stir it up a little bit. Stir it up a little bit, you know.
I thought it was a very good show. It was clean, you know. They're coming off the dud explosion, which was the talking point coming out of the last show. This show was much cleaner, had the happy ending. People with AEW, they create such high expectations with everything. Yeah. You know, everyone thinks, oh, is Danielson going to show up? Is Andrade going to show up? Is this person? Is that person? We didn't have any big surprises. I mean, Mark Henry. Not really a big surprise. Leo Rush, very good surprise, but, you know, not like top name that people were expecting or anything. But overall, it was a good show. I'm with Phil. I'm always going to say this. I don't need 4 hours. It's very long. You take the crowd out of it at certain points, and that'll hurt things, especially on a Sunday. Like, come on, guys. Saturday, fine. I can sleep in. I got to get up and work tomorrow. You know, Andrew, mm-hmm. you know, Phil, we got to get up and work. There's no days off for us media folks. Like, we got to keep going. It's bullshit. Yeah. But overall, I thought it was a good show, and good job by AEW. Phil, where can people find you at?
You can find me at PhilDO616 on the Twitter machine. You can find me at Bleacher Report as well as Daily DDT and a host of other places where you can find my articles.
Andrew?
I was like, I was waiting. I was like, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I kind of zoned out for a minute, bro. I'm tired.
It's 1:30 in the morning.
It's late.
I
got sleepy for a minute. I ain't gonna lie. They put on the show.
I feel like you were just looking like Cody. Just staring off of the screen. What? Oh, yeah.
But yeah, they can follow me on Twitter at @adthompson__. Same thing on Instagram. And check out my written work over at Post Wrestling and my YouTube channel, Andrew Thompson Interviews. I got an interview with Jeff Jarrett dropping on Tuesday. So, yeah, there we go.
Wow.
What'd you ask Jeff Jarrett? Getting the scoops, Andrew. The scoops.
Talked about his departure from Global Force Wrestling, his leave of absence from Global Force Wrestling. Talked about if he would return to the ring, and he's a very close relationship with Santos Escobar, and he thinks Escobar is going to be on the main roster by the end of the year.
Did you ask him why he didn't drop the title to Monty Brown when he should have?
Ooh, I should have asked him that. Bro, somebody. But let me say that Jeff is very evasive with some questions.
Like
he's very media trained. You could tell because I was even asking him stuff about some of the WWE producer stuff, and he would answer it, but you know, in a way, it was like not giving me too. You could tell he's very well, you know, media trained. Yeah, you could
he's tell. A pro. Mm. Yeah, he's done like 3 million interviews promoting this podcast too.
Oh my goodness, bro. So many interviews, bro. Yeah. That's like the hardest to prepare for. I ain't even gonna lie, like the ones that you know they did like a stretch.
Right.
Man.
But you gotta try to find stuff that hasn't been asked already, but then you also gotta ask like certain questions to make sure the promo gets out there and everything.
Oh my god.
That's why you're a pro, Andrew. Guys, we didn't get $1,000, so Andrew's not gonna tell the Jimmy Havoc story. Sorry, everybody. You know?
Sorry.
That was the goal, but yeah, you guys didn't hit it. Come on, give us more money. What are you doing?
You had to be there, and the only people that saw this. Was Sean. So
I know the follow-up though.
Jeremy, you know, because you were in the group chat when this unfolded. So
I know that part, and I know what happened
in Baltimore.
Yeah, in Baltimore.
So a whole thing, man. But, I'm proud of myself because I kept my composure, and I'm not banned from StarCast. So there you go. Not bad for StarCast.
Guys, we appreciate the support. YouTube.com/Fightful. Keep checking us out. Subscribe to the channel. You can go over to twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Tomorrow, Joseph Holbert and I will be doing a show at 5 p.m. Eastern. He will be giving his takes on Double or Nothing, and I will rehash a lot of my takes. But the floor will be Joseph's. Joseph will be doing his takes. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Check out The Distraction Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern on this channel. We'll be talking nonsense and doing nonsense like we always do on that show. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.